Broadcasting from the Hip Hop Weekly Studios, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Civic Cypher, where our mission is to foster allyship, empathy, and understanding. I am your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward. You are tuned in once again, and hopefully for the 9200th time, to Civic Cypher.
That's right, man. Listen, we are ready for today's show. We got some Jesse Jackson playing in the background a little earlier. We're a little hyped up.
Thank you, Reverend.
Yes, yes. And we are feeling like we got a lot to share with you. So first off, rest in peace, Rico Wade.
One time for the Dungeon family.
Okay, if you don't know about Rico Wade, you need to get to know about him and then offer, you know, some positive and cultivate some positivity and radiate that into the universe.
Our prayers and thoughts to the whole DF.
Absolutely, absolutely. But stick around, because today we're going to be talking about the police. Not a whole lot new there, but something specific came out recently. An article came out that kind of compared police spending rates to the impact on crime rates. And so, you know, city budgets for policing and whether or not more officers on the streets or better training or better, you know, whatever, equipment, blah, 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 what have you, if that impacts crime rates. And spoiler alert, it doesn't, but we're going to break that down for you. And so you can think about things a little bit more critically as you vote in local elections. Just want to make sure you're more informed. And then we're going to spend the second part of the show discussing some recent examples of police misconduct, police violence, police cover-ups, all that sort of stuff that we haven't been able to get to. And, you know, if we take a couple of weeks off to talk about, you know, this or that or the other thing, these things tend to pile up. Indeed, I think we had like six or eight choices that were national stories, and we picked three to share with you today. So a lot to stick around for. But first and foremost, it is time to discuss some Ebony Excellence. And today's Ebony Excellence is sponsored by Major Threads. For innovative, fashionable sportswear, check majorthreads.com. And I'm going to share a bit from NBC News. Ralph Yarrell, for those that remember, Ralph Yarrell was the black teenager who survived being shot in the head after he rang the wrong doorbell. It's about a year ago. He's now coming to grips with how the shooting has affected him. And we thought that this was an example of resilience and triumph over adversity. And so we wanted to share a little bit about his story. We've talked about him a couple times on the show, but, you know, as he continues to recover and kind of get back into his normal routine, we just want to continue saluting him. So I'll share a bit. Sometimes Yarrell, age 17, turns inward, ignoring phone calls and texts from loved ones. He skipped senior prom because he was afraid people would ask him about the shooting and he wasn't sure how he'd respond. And he acknowledges that his brain doesn't process dense information the way that it once did. That's okay, baby boy. You do what you can. You focus on being the best version of yourself as you can be. Here's a quote from him. Quote, it's definitely a bumpy journey, he said in his first in-depth interview about how the shooting has affected him 1 year later. He goes on to say, whenever there's something that goes on that reminds me of what happened, I just have such a negative wave of emotions, anger, disgust. It's always a mix of good and bad days, and I feel like the good days are when I'm able to be around people that help me build myself up. So recently on Easter, Yarrell was full of spunk, hiding eggs in his aunt's backyard for his younger cousins. He's taking life one day at a time, and I'll leave you with this quote. I just feel I got lucky, he said, of being alive, and he plans to study engineering at university next fall, although he's undecided on where. So shout out to him for keeping it moving.
Word.
All right. So let's get to this article. I'll just share a bit. This is from publicnewsservice.org. You're welcome to check this out. And of course, there's other locations, but this is where we source this material. A new report shows that despite record spending on law enforcement in California, the clearance rate, that is the rate of crime solved, was at the lowest ever. Researchers from the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice found that the state spent a record $27 billion on police in 2021, but the clearance rate was just 13% for all reported offenses. And this is down from 20% as far back as 1985. So a senior researcher for the Center and report author Mike Mails explained, quote, it's that the police are simply not making arrests. In Oakland, for instance, they have a crime clearance of rate of 2%, serious part one violence and property offenses. State Department of Justice data shows that San Francisco's clearance rate for all crimes in 2022 was 6.6%. That city's police department has blamed widespread auto break-ins for low clearance rates. But Mails said that it's not enough to account for the decline in clearances over the last 30 years. Some in law enforcement have suggested that Prop 47, which raised the threshold for a theft to be charged as a felony, has contributed to the uptick in property crimes over the last 2 years and to fewer arrests. But Assemblymember Isaac Bryan, who is Democratic and from Los Angeles, noted that Prop 47 saved the state more than $750 million in incarceration costs since 2014 and reinvested the money into programs that help people find housing, jobs, and treatment for addiction and mental illness. Quote, if we provided economic opportunity and the resources for the people to thrive and live their lives, we wouldn't see rampant theft. All right, I'm going to stop here for a second, because so far in this article, this really affirms what we talk about quite a bit on this show. And I know that there are a lot of people who are thinking, oh, that's just California. No, we've covered this very thing several times on the show, this very phenomenon that people feel like spending more money on the police, more police officers, police training, all these things lead to safer communities. People feel that way, and I understand why. If I didn't know better, if I didn't do this show and have to research all of this like data all the time, I would feel the same way. It makes sense if you don't know otherwise. But the fact of the matter is that none of the things that I've mentioned, not more police, not bigger police budgets, not better armed police, police with better equipment, not better police training, none of these things impacts crime rates. The truth of the matter is that the more police that there are, the more police corruption that there ends up becoming. And you wouldn't know that unless you looked at the university-based studies. And I implore you to go back and look. Almost every maybe two, three episodes, we're doing something like this that's in depth. But I do recall when we spent some time discussing police training and how that doesn't work. It's a myth. You know, these officers need better training. It's just a myth. You know, you might give some diversity training to an officer and send him back out on the streets. But after about a month, the studies, the university studies concluded that after about a month, the officers just kind of reverted to type. And that was indicative of the fact that there's a more pronounced police culture at play than individual. And that culture has a gravity that's more dominant than a person's individual sensibilities, right? So there's a whole plethora of issues going on here. But insofar as spending is concerned, if we spend more money on police, then we will have less crime. That is an utter myth. And we've had to wrestle with that here quite a bit.
We, and I don't simply mean Ramses and Q, but we as whatever portion of society that thinks along the same lines as defund the police, mm-hmm. have really done an awful job.
Yeah.
At even explaining the why. Yeah. Right. That was bad messaging in general, in yeah. my opinion. I said that the very first time I ever heard it yeah. on this show. Like yeah. saying it like that is a bad
it's
idea.
It's gonna freak everybody out.
Because yeah. it's gonna freak everybody out. But there has been a lack of explanation, and we've tried, but we just don't have enough time to explain it with the depth and nuance necessary as to providing a better solution. And if you read in depth what people were trying to say when they said defund the police, you would have found a bunch of ideas, a bunch of ways to diversify spending or reallocate funds that made a lot of sense toward an end that would result in less crime, similar to some of the things mentioned in this article that we're reading now. Mm-hmm. It's just that when that's the cover page,
that's the headline.
That's the headline.
The police, yeah.
Nobody's reading the rest, because yeah. what you and I have to admit, and this is Q and Ramses, and we have a long stated history on our position in policing in this country. Yeah. when we show up at a nightclub or a concert or walk down a dark street and see a police officer there, we feel safer, even us. And I know that because it happened to me like in the last 10 days. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's true for even me. Mm-hmm. So when society at large feels safer by the presence of police, they are not lining up to stand in the way of there being more police present, especially when they do not understand, because they've been indoctrinated and taught and kind of brainwashed since childhood, that police are, in essence, not just heroes, but crime solvers and crime preventers. And the narrative in any movie you want to watch about police, even one of our favorites, Bad Boys, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, mm-hmm. these gentlemen are full-time investigative detectives solving and preventing crime at the highest level. And in no place on earth does it work that way. Yeah. Like, some federal agencies work that way, but on a scale that's just way beyond the stuff that's happening in your local community.
Yeah.
Right. So what we see in these increased budgets is more about the appearance of good policing. Right. And I make it similar to when the new Call of Duty comes out and you download the game or you buy that GameStop or whatever the case, and you see all the gear, you know, custom AR rifles and bulletproof vest and SUVs that have been repurposed as like tanks with bulletproof doors and a mini gun and all these things that look really cool, that really look like Call of Duty is the best example because they've marketed Call of Duty to be like cool military. Mm-hmm. Like, kids want to dress up like that for Halloween instead of like firemen. And
it's
the marketing of our military and the marketing of our local and state level law enforcement has led to this, let's give them faster cars and bigger weapons thing with those budgets. Let's hire more officers and make them more intimidating so they can stand on corners and drive through neighborhoods and intimidate the crime out of the place. Except criminals look at that and laugh.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be here when we commit crimes.
Yeah.
You're going to show up after and try to find us. And fam, we're out.
That's why the solve rate is 2%.
Right? Yeah, we're not. Listen, you guys are spending that budget preparing for some, forgive the term for lack of better, for some war that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a war between all the criminals and all the cops would win in a landslide.
Sure,
they got all the equipment. But you've lived your whole life, whoever you are listening to this, have you ever seen such a thing?
Yeah.
And even in cases where you think they'd show up on some G.I. Joe, where innocent people are being unalived and shot, they don't. They stay outside. They stay out the way. They get out the way. They run out of the way.
So much so that, do you remember that episode that we did where we had to take a moment to acknowledge there was a police officer?
Yes,
where
somewhere
there was,
in the Midwest, running toward the gunfire.
Toward the gunfire. And we're like, that's a hero. Yeah. He's actually going, he's being brave. So we can call this one individual brave. He's going toward the gunfire. He's helping the people who are trying to escape. Stay behind that car. Don't get up. And he's still going toward the gunfire. That's a hero. That's a brave officer. Credit where it's due, right? We're very critical of police on this show, but credit where it's due.
I mean, even what you just said isn't true, though. Because we're not very critical of police. We know a bunch of police officers that are awesome. We spend time
standing
outside, talking to them, walking for miles, exchanging ideas and having conversations with police officers that are amazing people.
Sure. Yeah.
When we say police, we are not talking about your officer that you know. We are talking about the system that exists that unfortunately even some awesome people succumb to the culture that is involved with that job and end up having to turn off their human being and be an officer of the law.
Yeah, they're police first, human second. That is something that is very problematic. Those type of people are indoctrinated, we believe, with that police culture. Police at all costs. You know, if you pull someone over and you search their vehicle and you pat them down, you're looking for something. And this is something that I say to often lady friends of mine, that's usually where I have this conversation, but sometimes male friends too. It's like when you're going through someone's phone, you know, like your partner's phone, right? If you're looking for something, you're going to find it, even if it's not there.
And the interesting thing is, it's a great example. It's just like in relationships, in law enforcement, even when they don't find anything, it's not like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I did that.
Yeah, you don't get that.
Oh, no. They're going to make something what they wanted it to be, yeah. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant, no matter how unrelated it is.
And it's never their fault.
Right? Like in our case, right? There was some drugs present. I know this car is new. I know neither of you have ever had or tried drugs, but there were some drugs present. The guy could not just say, my bad, fam.
Yeah, no. He got the dog.
We didn't have y'all on the side of the
road.
For hours.
In the middle of the dark in Mississippi.
And strip searched the car. Like, took parts.
Panels off, yeah.
Took panels off of doors and seats out of this brand new car. Even then, it couldn't just be my bad, man. We was tripping.
He was like, nah, the dog
probably. The dog's nose was 900 million thousand trillion times stronger than the human nose. And a person with a joint in their pocket about 900 miles ago probably scraped.
When we left, got gas.
Brushed up against the car. And that's what the dog.
So we're going 80 miles an hour across two states. Because that's when we last filled up. And that's the last time someone potentially got close to the car. We were both in the car, by the way. So no one got close to the car.
Yeah, man.
He couldn't have. Anyway, so watch this. One of the things that I liken this phenomenon of people feeling safe, right? Oh, well, that we're increasing the police budget, so we're going to make Denver a safer city, or whatever city you live in, right?
Crack down on crime.
Yeah, that sort of thing. We're going to hire 1,100 new police officers to make sure your community is safe, right? So this rhetoric, I liken that to, because we know it doesn't work. It does not prevent crimes. Desperate people will.
We know it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, we know it doesn't work. So this is what I like.
Community at large doesn't. And that's right. The part that sucks. Well,
we're here to teach. You know,
we're trying, but we get to push back because they don't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't love
believe it.
Yeah.
Because it comes across as we're biased. We have a negative bias toward the police.
Man, listen.
So we're going to find all this data to make us right.
Let me help everybody that might feel that way out. We are DJs. We have a way funner job that we could be doing. This is necessary. This is something that is fueled by conviction. This is something that's appropriate given the space in which we work and no one else kind of working here. And we cannot continue to just throw parties and have fun and travel the world and DJ on beaches and stuff like that, and know that we have this opportunity and indeed this responsibility to deliver these messages. But this is, we're not doing this because we love it. We're not looking for statistics so we can be right. And that, Lord knows, this isn't where we're getting money yet.
So, man.
Sure. But anyway, so what I liken that to, that phenomenon of people feeling like more police officers are going to make them safe. It's like the same thing as if you have like a mold problem, right? If you have a mold problem, let's say there's mold growing on the walls in your bathroom or your kitchen or something like that. And you're aware that there's a mold problem there. And then you paint it. That doesn't fix the mold problem.
But it doesn't look like there's mold anymore.
It doesn't look like it. But that problem is still there. And eventually, it will affect you. It'll affect someone close to you, right? So what we've been saying, and what certainly more brilliant people in terms of strategy, more brilliant people than us, they might not be more brilliant in terms of marketing, but certainly in terms of strategy, have come up with this idea of, hey, let's reallocate police resources into programs that prevent the necessity of crime in the first place. There's this prevailing thought that people commit crimes because they're bad, right? And most of the crime, there's certainly some people who commit crimes because they're just, that's what they're going to do. But this isn't just anecdotal evidence. You can look at, you know, and I'm not talking about even violent offenses, although there's an argument to be made there, but property crimes.
Just real unbiased data.
Yeah, property crimes. These are crimes of people who are poor. Rich people aren't stealing bicycles. Rich people aren't, you know, that's not a thing.
We're so conflicted as a society, though, Ramses. It is counterintuitive for a capitalist society to create the socialist infrastructure required for its citizens to not be starving, sick, and hungry. It's
it's actually against what they want to do.
It goes against the nature of it. Yeah.
So there's no actual incentive for them to do that. Not because they want crime, but the alternative is creating situations where crime is less likely to happen,
sure.
which means people are less likely to be poor. And unfortunately, our capitalist system requires that some of us not have anything.
Yeah.
It is a requirement for the system to exist.
Capitalism needs unemployment.
Yes.
To keep wages low. It is a function of the formula. Now, I'm going to double down on what you just said because I've taken an interest in Finland lately.
I've taken an interest in a bunch of places elsewhere.
Well, I'm just studying them. You actually want to move, man, but I'm just studying them. All right?
There's an election coming up, people. I mean, if it doesn't make sense why I want to move, please open your eyes. As Lawrence Fishburne once said, wake up.
Well, dig this. So, in Finland, Finland is capitalistic, right? It's a capitalistic economic model there. But they have such robust socialist programs that it doesn't feel like the unfettered crony capitalism, the runaway capitalism that is part and parcel to American life, right? And, you know, there are people who make arguments for and against socialism. There are people who make arguments for and against communism or every other type of economic model, right? But for better or worse, we will cede that on a global scale, capitalism is the idea that has won out. Capitalism drives the economies of the world, right? We don't have to love that.
The reasons why are so obvious, though, right?
Well, yeah,
the haves want to remain the have.
Exactly.
And the system allows them to do so.
And trick the have-nots into thinking that they can. They think that they can get there, too, right? But I think that societies that offset the nature of capitalism with robust socialist programs, they're the ones where there's low crime rates, low incarceration rates. There's more economic mobility for people, on and on and on. Right? People don't readily fall through the cracks. Homelessness, you know, whatever. Pick a thing. They suffer from less of those. Right? And when we try to examine how could we do that here, well, it takes money. And where are we going to get the money from? Well, the police, we're spending a lot on them. And if we reallocate those resources, then we might end up with a more robust socialist program.
Just California, Ramsey said, spent $25 billion
on police. That's what we have.
That's right. Just California. Yeah. That's not the United States.
$27 billion in 2021.
Billion with a B.
Yeah. So a lot to chew on here. There's certainly more here. But again, check the article, publicnewsservice.org. And then, you know, hit us up. Let us know your thoughts.